Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spear.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
When the red, red robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bobbing along.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Canine Caviar, available at Bothell Feed Center in the North End and Sierra Fish and Pets in the South End.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Well, every Sunday morning except 2 weeks from today, August 3rd, and the Hydros will be here instead of us. But that's only 1 week we won't be here. So anyway, you can tune us in on the internet. You can tune us in or on the radio on the internet dial if you've got internet connections. Go to the website, marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That'll click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And just want to remind you that we are still looking for volunteer call screeners. And we would love to make you part of the Animal World family and let you come in and get behind the scenes. If you're interested, you can shoot us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or give me a call at 360-217-7258. And it's the Adventure Classroom here on Animal World today. Mm-hmm. Adventure Travelers Helen and Bill Thayer are here, and we were just kind of reminiscing about and telling you how
Bill stole the farmer's daughter, and he got transferred, you said, and so you guys got married, and off you went to Guam, was that?
Yeah, to Guam. He requested transfer to Guatemala and Honduras.
Honduras.
And so we were married before he was to leave New Zealand. We were married in New Zealand and then went to live 4 years in Guatemala and Honduras.
Now, at some point, you became part of the U.S. Olympic team, and
yes,
you were a champion luger. Is that what you call? What do you
yes.
call it?
I represented the U.S. in track and field, an international competition. Then I became the United States national luge champion, so I represented them on luge, so second sport.
But so what got you into that?
Well, Bill and I saw it on television once and thought, boy, that looks exciting. So we ended up, both of us ended up on the United States team together.
Really?
And then Bill said, hey, you know, I need both hands and both feet, legs here. You know, I have to stay in one piece to fly a helicopter. So he did he did very well. We were on the team. We were sent to Europe, and he did very, very well in the racing over there. But I continued on and won the United States championship, and then I quit while I still had a body to because my first love was
pretty dangerous, isn't it?
Yes, especially those days because we were on faster tracks than they use now, more dangerous tracks.
So you've been basically you guys have been doing great adventures and almost daredevil type stuff.
Well, we don't.
But not it's not really daredevil, not like an Evel Knievel sort of thing.
No, we're not like that. We really do respect our bodies. We want them to continue on. And so we are interested in staying alive. That is a definite option for us. But it's we calculate these things. We figure, you know, it's like climbing mountains. I've done some very hardcore, high-altitude mountain climbing.
Well, I was going to say, how many times have you climbed Mount Rainier?
22 to the summit.
22 to the summit.
So I've climbed a lot of high mountains overseas that have been quite dangerous, but it's always been calculated. I will back off from a summit in a hurry and come back another day rather than die trying. I don't like to do that. I figure I've got to get home. And for Adventure Classroom, when we're away on expeditions, sometimes it's quite dangerous. But we're always aware that you don't. Adventure Classroom is an educational project for kids K through 12, and we always say we don't make a good educational program if we don't come home and talk about it.
Well, that's true. So as long as we brought up the subject, tell us about Adventure Classroom, because that's your thing, your creation.
Yes,
right?
I created it. I'm the founder and the president, Bill's secretary, treasurer, and so forth. And we are basically a two-person team. Our webmaster, Marlon Green, here in Seattle, he's a third member of the team. He does all of our websites and all this sort of thing, and he's a vital member of everything. In fact, he's going to be designing Charlie's book. He does he'll do the cover and all those sorts of things for Charlie's biography. But Adventure Classroom, I've spoken, we believe in going into the schools on a personal basis. It's nothing like looking the kid in the eye and talking about setting goals, planning for success, being the best you can be, and also intercultural respect. On our expeditions overseas, our main focus right now is to study the cultures, actually live with the cultures, learn their lifestyle, bring the information back, teach the kids intercultural respect. We want respect for our culture. We must respect all others so that we can start to get along together.
Yeah, so you've been like into Africa and out in the middle of nowhere, and you've actually lived in the yurts and there with the tribes.
We've lived with the bushmen.
The
bushmen don't have a house. They live under the bush, so to speak.
Yeah.
We've done all that. We live with the Maasai, the Dakotas, and the Berbers. Not very long ago, we walked 900 miles across four countries of the Sahara with the Berber tribe as they were relocating for water. And that was our latest Sahara adventure. Before that, we had already walked 4,000 miles across, all the way across the Sahara.
So that's so amazing. So you walked 4,000 miles across the Sahara Desert.
Yes.
And that was just you and Bill?
Yes, and that will be my book after I finish Charlie's book. That will be my next book.
Okay, because as of right now, you have three books.
Yes,
right?
I have three books.
Okay, so
yes.
The first one, Polar Dream, and that is the story of Helen and Charlie.
Yes.
And the first solo trip to the North Pole by a woman.
Yes, that's right.
Has anybody ever done it since then?
No, not solo, not the way I did it, no.
So you're like the first one. You are one unique. I mean, yeah, I told you, they're so amazing. So that's not something that they've women been up there doing.
No, because over and over again. The polar bears are a significant factor.
Yeah.
And they tend to put people off.
Well, because they'll eat you.
Yes, they do eat. They do hunt and hunt humans for food. And basically, when you're approached by a polar bear, you have to figure that you're just on the menu.
Yeah, your lunch,
your job,
dinner,
your job is to get off the menu as fast as possible.
Yep, and like you said, like we said, and all joking aside, had you not had Charlie with you,
well, one bear
you probably
would
have you one bear yeah. would have got you,
yes.
And you had a number of encounters.
Seven of them altogether.
Seven altogether.
Mm, up so close.
What was the one that almost got you?
Well, the one we were approaching an area with very large icebergs that were trapped in the winter ice, and just about to go around, one was about 30 feet high, and Charlie stopped. And he refused to take another step, and he was staring straight ahead at this mountain of ice. And I realized he was warning me of a bear that was on the other side. And so I was out of my ski harness and out of my sled harness in a hurry and stood waiting to see what would happen. And just a few moments, the largest bear, a male bear that I've ever seen, stepped out from behind the ice. He paused just a moment, then he raced straight past me to my sled and flipped that 160-pound sled over with a front paw just so it was a tiny toothpick.
Holy mackerel.
But then he turned to me. I could see he was going to charge me. So with a couple of quick steps, I released Charlie. Charlie raced out of that collar that he had on. He raced out there and grabbed the bear by the right rear heel and hung on. So this distracted the bear completely from me. Now the bear was trying to get Charlie off his heel. So round and round they went in these tight little circles until finally that very, very large and powerful bear tore away from Charlie, raced off across the ice with Charlie racing after the bear, having the most wonderful bear chase.
You leave my mom alone, man.
He was having the most wonderful bear chase of his life because that's what he liked to do, chase polar bears.
Well, so, that's what he's been bred to do.
Of course, they soon were disappeared from view. But then I was really worried because could Charlie come back? Would he find his way back through the ice? Or could that bear or another one ambush him out there and kill him or hurt him? So I spent 30 minutes, the worst 30 minutes of my life, just waiting and praying that Charlie would come back. And finally he did come back and we were reunited and that was a happy, happy moment.
But he did
his job.
He did. He did. Because now, did you carry guns or anything?
I had a gun, but you see, there's several reasons why you just don't shoot. I've had young men contact me and say, well, you know, I'd like to do this journey, but I just shoot my way to the pole. I tell them right away, that's ridiculous. You're certain to die because if you wound a polar bear, you can be certain that you're going to be killed because that bear will kill you while it's dying. They become really, really bad then. And besides, you can't shoot. It's illegal to shoot a polar bear unless it's strictly in self-defense. Unless you're properly licensed and you're with an Inuit guide. Those are the rules of polar bear hunting. Well, of course, I wasn't a hunter. I had no license for any such thing, nor any intention of doing it. So,
and it really is not in your nature.
No, I'm not a hunter.
And not even to just, but even to defend, it's not in your nature.
No, I don't want to kill it to do it.
Wildlife.
No. So that's why I had Charlie with me and a flare gun. And with that flare gun, I'd fire these bright red flares out to land in a row in front of the bears. And they send up a thin curtain of acrid-smelling smoke. And polar bears have never seen smoke before because there's no forest fires out there.
Right.
And so they don't like that. And they didn't like Charlie. So my flare gun and the flares and Charlie, this is what kept them back. And then they would just go around. But just because a polar bear goes around you, seems to be leaving, you better watch. You keep your eye open.
Better watch your back.
At least 3 days.
Oh,
because they will wait back, and then they'll sneak up. And you never ever hear a polar bear walking on the ice. Never. They're totally silent. So one can be right at your shoulder, and you don't know it till it's too late.
Wow.
So that's why Charlie was a warning. Yeah.
Well, now what do you think about? Surely you have seen, you know, the internet stories and the photographs of the dogs chained on the ice and the polar bears that come in and they play with them?
Yes.
What's up with that?
And lots of people have sent me those photos.
Yeah.
Well, polar bears will come in. Of course, the dogs are chained up on the ice when they're not working and they're fed frozen seal meat, which of course is a polar bear's favorite food. So they smell, polar bears have got a tremendous sense of smell. It's unbelievable. They will come in attracted by that smell. Well, they'll either just plain, the dogs will let them steal it so they're not killed, or sometimes they will actually kill the dogs. But then you get a dog now and again. There's this thing that we humans, we've lost these senses altogether, but humans have got it figured, animals have got it figured out. You know, there's the chemistry goes on, and there's these photos of this wonderful dog and this wonderful polar bear actually playing in the most close-up way. And so even with the polar bear's paws right around the dog, and the dog is perfectly safe. But they're two animals that figured it out. And the polar bear apparently just wanted to play. It wasn't going to steal food, so the dog didn't have to defend its lunch. And so
and
it
apparently
was okay.
It comes in over and over again that they developed a friendship.
Well, and to some extent, as long as there's no stealing of the food, because the dogs will defend their food. They have to, because that's all they've got.
Yeah.
But with Charlie, his job was chase polar bears away out of
the
village.
That's what he was bred to do.
Yes, and that's what he loved to do. He liked to chase them.
No befriending polar bears.
No,
not for him.
No. It was chase
them
out.
That was his job.
Yeah.
And boy, did he do a great job.
He enjoyed a good old chase. He came back from that chase. He was happy as could be.
And then did you do, let's say, the first book is Polar Dream, folks. Now, can folks get all of the books from you now?
Yes, they can go onto my website, www.helenthayer.com. Just my name.com.
Yeah.
And you can go on, just click on books and you can buy them.
Okay, so we've got Polar Dream. If you haven't read the three books, you just absolutely have to. They're just the most wonderful books. And the second book was actually your trek, you and Bill together.
It was with Charlie,
Three Among the Wolves.
That's right.
And that's the second book, right?
Yes, that's the second book. That's when Charlie, Bill and I had wanted to study wild wolves in the true wild for a long time. But there's no way that you can just turn up at a wolf den and say, hi, we're here for a year.
Hello, it's Helen and Bill Thayer Adventure Classroom, please.
Yeah, we're out of here. Yeah,
us about you and your family?
They'd leave us so fast, but in a blink of an eyelid, they'd be gone. But we realized with Charlie's heritage, wolf heritage, he just was an experiment. He might be a link that might work. And we did a reconnaissance expedition the year before to look for a wolf den in a suitable place away from where we thought hunters could get to them. And then so we ended up in the Richardson Mountains of the Canadian Yukon, just above the Arctic Circle. And there we found the perfect place. So then we returned the next year with Charlie. And it did prove, to make a long story short, we were proved right. Charlie did provide the link. He actually bonded with that wolf family. He did all the right things. We did the right things. We established him deliberately as our alpha male, and we were simply his pack, and it worked. And so
you were able to live very close.
Yeah, 100 feet from the den. And, of course, we didn't make pets of them. People say, oh, did you pat them? And no, of course not. They were wild wolves, and they had to stay wild. But we were just there as guests, and we were able to watch their lifestyle and interact with them to some degree.
But they actually allowed Charlie to bond with them and interact with their young pups.
He was like an uncle to the pups.
Yeah.
And
how cool is that?
And we were able to watch the hunts. We were able to go through their entire lifestyle. But Charlie was the reason we were successful there. And then, of course, leaving. If we could have figured out a way to do it, we would have stayed there for the rest of our lives. We love to live with wolves. They're the most sensible animals. And we learned so much from them. We learned a lot from the wolves that we can apply to our own lifestyle, kindness, love for each other, respect for each other, just general get along together. It was an amazing experience.
And isn't it true that, I mean, we can, as humans, can learn so much from wolves about family.
Yes.
And respect and honor and how they do things.
They do it. They have
all
of that.
And I'm taking myself back to the energy of when I read that book for the And I'm tearing up because it is such a phenomenal story to read about Helen and Bill and how close they were able to live with the wolves and what they learned. And then the relationship that builds between Charlie and the wolves.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, you couldn't spend the rest of your life there. And eventually you did have to pack up and trek out.
Leaving was terrible.
And in the last few pages of the book, if you can imagine me, again, one of those books you can't put down. You have to keep reading. And when I got to those last few pages and you were separating from the wolves and trekking out, I'll tell you what, I cried and I cried and I cried. And I was crying for Charlie and you leaving the wolves. But I was also crying because I didn't want the book to end. It was so good.
Well, and to make matters worse, they didn't make it easy for us. It was obvious that they had got used to us, and they didn't want Charlie to leave. We took the tent down, and the mother and pups promptly came over and sat exactly where the tent had been. And it was like, please don't do this to us. We're dying already. You know, it's just killing us. And Charlie had a tough time leaving, but we had to, and but we did it. But then we, of course, have been back now and again to check on the wolf family. And it's changed over the years, but they're still using the den and, the offspring grow up and they have pups and so forth. And the alpha males, they come and go. The alpha females come and go.
And what about, are they still doing the helicopter wolf hunts up there?
Not that we can see right now, but they certainly were at that time. That was an awful thing to see the coming in with a plane and shooting the wolves from the air. That was too much.
But the wolves fortunately are not stupid, and they did learn and adjust their behavior
very, very related
to that.
They figured that one out in a hurry.
Yeah.
They knew when an airplane was coming in. They knew what to do.
And they would get out of plain sight. They would.
This is what makes us so sad when we read of various places here in the northern states where they kill members of the wolf family. They don't seem to realize that when you kill certain members of the wolf family, then you've destroyed the family. You take the alphas out. It just doesn't work.
Well, that's something, a similar thing here in this state related to what they've done with the wild cougar population, because they were having lots of trouble with cougars in eastern Washington. And so then they made it, we voted that it was not legal to hunt them. And then the legislature messes around with all of that stuff and made it okay to hunt them again. Well, what they went out and took out, all the alpha, everybody, when people hunt, they want the big trophy animals, the big males. And of course, when they took out the big males, the alpha males and the hierarchy.
They weaken the gene pool when they do that.
Well, they do that also, but then they left the teenage cougars to wreak havoc.
Yeah.
And the problem got worse, not better, because, you need those elders to teach the kids how to behave.
That's right. It's the same in the wolf family. The whole family raises the pups, and the elders teach the pups what to do. And so then at the end of that first year, they're old enough in the fall and the winter to go on hunts with them, and then they travel. And then the next year, they're adults and they're on their own, but they know what to do. But you take the alphas out, the adults out, then the pups are left to fend for themselves, and they don't do so well. And then they get into mischief.
All right. Well, we've got one more book to cover. We're going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Remember, folks, it's the most important part of the show. So listen, pay attention, and support them. Thank them and stay right where you are, because Animal World continues more with Helen and Bill Thayer, and we're going to the Gobi Desert next. So Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural food to your animal friends, even if you home cook, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy the important stuff. That's why Designing Health created Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all whole natural raw foods sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you open it. Mix up your animal friend's food. Add in the Missing Link, a little cool water to stir it in, and voila, you've added what's missing. Like the balanced omega-3 and 6 and 9 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats. And there's a bunch of Missing Link formulas. There's a formula for cats, two formulas for dogs, one for skin and coat, one for hip and joint. There is a wellness blend, which is vegetarian. You can feed to both your dogs and cats and other little critters as well. And there's a bird formula, also a horse formula. Ask for the missing link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or you can go directly to Designing Health, www.designinghealth.com. You can give them a call at 1-800-774-7387. And, of course, now is the time where we're going to give it away. So pick up your phones and local number 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. And how about the missing link words of the day? Adventure Classroom.
Did you know that there's a gentle energy balancing method for restoring health, mobility, and athletic performance for your dog, cat, or horse? Bioenergetic synchronization, as used by Nels Rasmussen, creates transformations in health, mobility, and performance. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668. BioClean Incorporated is a fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractor working under the authority of the Washington State Health Department. BioClean helps with extremely difficult situations, including hoarding of both objects and animals, the cleanup of trauma scenes, rodent infestations, mold issues, and cleanup of the aftermath of sewage and flood events. If the unthinkable happens to you and you're faced with a situation that involves a crime, trauma, or tragedy, you need to call BioClean. The entire staff at BioClean Incorporated pride themselves on combining compassion with expertise and professionalism. Serving all of Washington State, BioClean offers professional certified 24-hour emergency service with no additional charge for night or weekend calls. At BioClean Incorporated, you're more than a customer, you're someone they want to help. The BioClean professional cleanup team are experts at eliminating odors, contaminants, and biohazards. Call BioClean at 888-412-6300. That's 888-412-6300. Or visit BioCleanWA.com for more information.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule session.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. It's an adventure Sunday here on Animal World. Our all-time favorite guests, adventure travelers, and operators, creators and operators of the Adventure Classroom. Helen and Bill Thayer are here, and we're chatting about our way through the books, and we've talked about Polar Dream, we've talked about Three Among the Wolves, and you can go to their website, www.helenthayer.com. You can see all the things that they've done, and you can get all the books there. The third book you've done so far is
Walking the Gobi.
Yeah, Walking the Gobi, the Gobi Desert. And that, even being able to do that, that was a huge thing because the Gobi, trekking across deserts, folks, is not an easy thing to do.
No, it's hard.
And how old were you guys when you did the Gobi?
Let me see. I was 63 and Bill was 70. It was in 2001.
Well, so 60s and 70s.
Yeah,
so, weren't spring chickens, although you really are.
We celebrated our 40th anniversary.
On the desert. But you had to, was it the Chinese authorities? Or who was it? You had to talk them into letting you do this.
Yeah, was it Mongolian?
Mongolian,
we had to talk them into, first of all, they wouldn't give us a permit to do it because we were crossing a very remote area and nobody had done it before. and they couldn't believe that we could survive it. But we finally convinced them that we'd already walked 4,000 miles across the Sahara Desert, and we were used to camels. We used camels to carry our gear. And so finally we did convince them we could do it, and then we set off. And we're told we're the first man and first woman to walk the entire length of the desert, but the temperatures of 126 in the shade, and there is no shade in the Gobi because there's no trees. Now we know why we're the first man and woman. It's because other people have the sense to stay home.
And you, fortunately, you're the first men and women to ever walk the Gobi Desert. Did it with the help of Tom and Jerry.
That's right. We had two camels, wonderful Bactrian camels, the two humped camels. And we called them Tom and Jerry. And Tom was a serious fellow, and Jerry was the clown. And they were one. They became our family.
And you also are two of, you know, maybe a handful of people on the planet that have ever seen a Gobi bear.
Yes, that's right.
And so you actually saw one.
Yes, we saw
one
one day.
They do exist. They aren't ghost bears.
They do exist. There's not very many. They think, last we heard was they think there might be only 35 left in the world, and that number's going down. They stand a very good chance of becoming extinct.
And then, so before we move on, again, you triumphed, and I believe that you guys are divinely guided and protected because you're doing such great work. But you did make it. You were the first to ever walk the Gobi Desert. Has ever anyone done that since?
Nobody has walked it since.
Woman to walk solo to the North Pole. You were the first.
Nobody else has done it.
You were the first two to ever walk the Gobi, and nobody's ever done that again either.
No.
And when you look back on it, there was at least a couple of times when you came very close to not returning from this trip.
That's right.
And one of those times would have died a pretty yucky death out there with no water.
That's right.
So
one of our camels, they took turns carrying the water. One would carry the water and the other one would carry the gear and food. And while we walked, and this particular day, one camel carrying the water rolled on the, must have been some discomfort, and the camel rolled and split the water containers. So we raced to try to save what we could, but it was too late. And so we were resupplied every 20 days. Small desert airplane would come in with water because the Gobi Desert is so dry. We knew we wouldn't survive if we didn't have a water supply.
So every 20 days, they'd drop you some supplies.
Yes.
But this was long enough ago. I mean, you didn't have any means of communicating.
No, we were not allowed. The Mongolian government wouldn't allow us to have any outside communication.
So you couldn't, put up a SOS, hey, we need a supplies
early. We had to wait. We were 9 days from resupply.
9 days.
So,
and your water was just rolled on by the camel.
Yes. And so
and
now
you're in the Gobi Desert.
We had to cut down. We were drinking a gallon and a half each a day, and that was barely keeping us going. So we had to drop down something like a pint and then reduce it down, and just hoping we would find water along the way, some kind of a puddle that hadn't dried up yet or something. And so we kept going, and by the seventh, about the sixth day, we were in deep trouble. We had terrible headaches. We were very, very badly.
Dehydrating rapidly.
Our lips were cracked. Our tongues were swollen and bleeding. And we were having even trouble blinking your eyes. You blink your eyes and then they wouldn't open again, things like that.
Because there wasn't any moisture
eyes were so sunk back into our heads.
Oh, my.
And then we couldn't talk because we didn't have enough saliva. And then on the seventh day, we knew in our hearts, although we weren't admitting it, we knew in our hearts it wouldn't be an eighth day for us. But late that seventh day, we came across this muddy little, dreadful little small pond that had not yet dried up. And of course we had
Divine Mother.
We had a desalinization unit with us.
You did.
So we were able to separate the salt from the water and the bugs and get enough to drink to live. And so that it reminded me of these poor potted plants I have in my living room that I keep forgetting to water. And they all droop, and you water them, and they all stand up and say, hello, we're back alive. That was us. That was our bodies. And so then water came in, and we were okay. But it was a very close call, but it's a dreadful way to die.
So at the very last minute, you came across enough and had the equipment to clean.
But we believed. We had to believe it would be ahead of us. We just had to keep going and believe. We couldn't.
You couldn't give up.
If we'd been negative at all, we would have sat down and died. But that's a big thing, and we found that in these situations where it's really tough, if you stay positive and if you visualize, you know, just like, for instance, walking to the pole, even though the last 7 days I had to go without food and water because everything blew away in a big storm, yeah. I visualize myself standing at the pole. And even if your body is done, your mind will carry you on like a magnet.
Thought directs energy.
And it works, and it worked like that through that thirst. It worked, and it's worked since, so... It's just something.
Well, you guys are a classic living example. That's why if you can arrange for Adventure Classroom to come to your kids' school and do things, I mean, what great lessons for them to learn at a young age.
Yes, I've spoken to over a million kids since 1988, actually, in schools.
Wow, wow.
And I get a tremendous feedback. And that's what really encourages us to continue is with the feedback we get. Messages like, well, Johnny read his first book because he heard you, or... Mary's starting to set goals. She's doing better in school because now she's set a goal of being a better student and those sort of things. So we know we're making a difference. So
Wow. It
really urges us to get out and do.
A million kids you've spoken to. How
over a million now.
So okay, so you survived almost dehydrating to death.
Mm-hmm.
And then didn't you had really you were the Mongolian deserts in Mongolia, but it's Mongolia.
Well, the Gobi is in Mongolia.
The Gobi's in Mongolia, but it's right on the border.
It's in Mongolia and northern China.
And northern China,
and we were right on the border.
And you had very strict instructions that you were not to put a big toe over the border.
No, we're not.
Because they told
cross.
You what they tell you you'd get shot.
We'd be shot.
You'd be executed on the spot if you got caught.
And we actually did accidentally go over the border because whoever drew the Mongolian border must have had a very bad day because it's all over the place.
Yeah,
and maps are not always quite. One map is not exactly the same as the other. But we did have a GPS, and we could see. Well, you know, okay, we're still in Mongolia. We're still okay because we had to get through some canyons, and so we got through these canyons. But on the other side, we broke out of this wide open plain, and we stopped to drink water, and suddenly we realized there were a row of cairns north of us. Like, whoops, we're in China. Well, then, of course, we tried to get out of there as fast as we could before we were caught by the border patrol, but we were found and
Didn't one of them get out of their hobbles or something?
And walked across the border. Well, you know, you can't let your camel, he was family to us, and you can't let him go south into China because he would die. He would have no water. He would have nothing. And so we had to go, we had to then take the risk and go after. We went about a half mile south before we caught him, and then we hurried back. But now we've got telltale footprints in the sand, so people would know where we'd be.
Oh, so there was evidence that
you'd
been there.
So it was a fast exit out of that area, too.
So then by mistake, you ended up in China.
Yeah,
and so you were trying to, you know, boot scoot back across the border, but you didn't make it.
No, we got caught, and then the interrogation came, and we were informed that we could be shot, but they would interrogate us first. And that was a bit depressing.
And I love this. I love this because now... And you often, when you go to foreign countries, you make an effort to learn some of the language and the customs, correct?
Yes, so we don't look too foolish too many times.
And so you got these border patrol that have caught the two of you. And didn't they think you're smugglers or something?
Yes, they accused us of being drug smugglers. So they searched, the good captain had his soldiers search all of our gear on the camels, and they found nothing, of course, and... Nothing on us because we're not into drugs anyway, so nothing like that. So,
and then you guys can't see Helen and Bill, but even though their energy is huge, their physical bodies are small.
They were,
so how tall are you guys?
I'm 5'2" and a half, and Bill's about five 5 or so.
So you guys, you guys are not big people.
No, you don't see us very easily. We sort of have to look down low to see us.
and so when you hear the story, you love it because they're captured by the border control. They're being threatened with being executed. And they're being interrogated and accused of being drug smugglers, and they're not listening. And even when they check, and then, you're gonna love this. Helen pulls the elder card.
Well, you see, in those countries, it's really wonderful. They respect their elders absolutely, without question, 100%. And of course, we're elders, and we get a lot of respect from the tribes. This is why we're so successful in living with tribes throughout the world.
Because you're older folks.
Yes. Well, this fellow, he actually spoke good English. Mm. And so he was a captain, but he was very quite enchanted with his position of authority over these two foreigners, and he was enjoying himself, obviously. But this interrogation went on and on and on. It was ridiculous. The same questions over and over again. And so finally I got sick and tired of the whole thing and stood up into my entire 5'2.5". And this man was considerably taller. But I informed him that his countrymen would be ashamed of him if they could hear him, because he's being totally disrespectful to his elders. We are your elder, I told him, and you have to respect us for this. And you're not showing us a proper respect. Well, he immediately backed off. And then we suddenly became his friends. And so the whole atmosphere changed because of course Bill was having... His eyes were rolling to the ceiling because he was wondering what was his wife going to do next and what was she going to say, because I could be pretty outspoken at times. But it worked. It worked. So we got out of that quite nicely. But the good captain, he realized this was his social mistake and corrected it in a hurry.
Well, good for you for, being smart enough to pull the elder card.
Yes, it was a good one. It was a good time to do it.
Yeah. All right. So that book, that's the third book. We've got Polar Dream, Three Among the Wolves, Walking the Gobi, and all of those three books you can get from Helen and their website, www.helenthayer.com. Now, do you still autograph copies and send them out?
If they ordered off my website, I would send them an autographed copy, of course.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, you just got to read them. They're the best, some of the best books I've ever read. You'll be enthralled from start to finish. And obviously they made it through that trek as well. But it's such an honor to know you and to be able to call you friends. Mm. I mean, you've done so many things
we've
that no one else on the planet has ever done before or since.
And we launched Charlie's book.
And, so we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. Remember to listen, pay attention, support them, and thank them, because without them, we can't have Helen and Bill and do these shows. And stay right where you are, because as we continue, we're going to talk about the new books coming up, because she's in the middle of writing one at this point that we're going to launch here on Animal World in the fall. And then there's another one coming, and the stories with that are really amazing. So we'll talk about that next. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Ever wonder what your pet is thinking, why they do certain things, or how they're adapting to a change in the household? Darcy Pariso, Animal Intuitive Medium and Reiki Master, can help you with all of those things. Darcy can help you connect with your pet or other animal, here or in spirit. She'll also share messages including your pet's past lives and soul purpose. Clients say Darcy's readings are so much more than they expected and result in a deeper bond with her pets. Contact Darcy at darcypariso.com. That's Darcy Pariso, P-A-R-I-S-O.com. Or call 425-280-5132.
Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company. You'll find find them on State Avenue in Marysville, or you can give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Did you know that there's a dog food available that has a pH factor of 7.0 to 7.5 that helps put more oxygen into your pet's body? A dog food that is high in calories for better nutrient absorption? Canine caviar is that food. Canine caviar is also flash cooked to maintain nutritional integrity and can help reduce shedding, hot spots, and tear stains. They use ingredients like human-grade dehydrated chicken, lamb, or venison, and add ingredients like sun-cured alfalfa and kelp, a rich source of vitamins and minerals making canine caviar 91 to 93% digestible. Canine caviar has been around since 1996 and is one of the best holistic pet foods available. You can find canine caviar at Bothell Feed Center, your modern-day feed store with the old farm charm. They're proud to be serving pet parents for over 30 years in the greater Bothell Snohomish area. You can also find canine caviar and other premium pet supplies at Sierra Fish and Pets, where they have been pleasing customers and pampering pets since 1972. Visit them today for all of your pet's needs at Renton Village, 601 South Grady Way, or at SierraFishAndPets.com.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Hey, Martha Norwalk, and boy, I'm sorry to say we're at the winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. Fortunately, we've got one whole hour left to go, and it's an Adventure Sunday here at Animal World. Adventure Travelers Helen and Bill Thayer are in the house. We've just talked about Helen's first three books, Polar Dream, Three Among the Wolves, my favorite book in the whole world, and Walking the Gobi. And now you said you're close to completion on, what is it, Charlie's Story? Or
yes.
Is that what you're calling it? What's the name of this going to be? Do you know?
The working title right now is Charlie, the Hero at My Side.
Oh, ooh, that's good. I love the feel of that. And is that going to take us from the day you met and
to the day he was born?
The day he was born.
Because I interviewed Inuit elders who knew his parents, his siblings, and even his grandparents. So I was able to get his entire history from the day he was born and his parents and so forth, all the way up to the time I met him. And then I take over from there with the story.
Wow, wow. And so you're going to, there'll be more stories then, of course, about the Polar Dream and
yes.
The Three Among the Wolves, but yeah. Probably a lot more about, you know, your private life together and
yes,
all
that's,
of that.
Well,
huh?
It'll be Charlie's, like, it'll be really, we're emphasizing Charlie's walk to the pole and then Charlie's time with the wolves. And then, of course,
that'll be cool.
We hiked hundreds and hundreds of miles in the Cascades and
Yeah, because you had him, well, he was, what, about four years old, and he lived to 23, so you had about 19 years you
had
with
this guy. And he was in school. A lot of people have met Charlie.
Well, and I feel very blessed because I met Charlie.
He was in lots of schools. He went everywhere with us to the schools and anywhere within driving, reasonable driving distance to all my adult programs, because I speak to corporate America and nonprofits and corporations as well. He went everywhere with me.
Well, and which is often the case with those dogs that are bred with such solid genetics to survive in such a harsh environment and do such huge jobs, take on polar bears. They need really strong genetics, but they also come with really stable temperaments.
And
he was so stable and alpha in his temperament to be strong enough to, you know, have fun chasing, you know, polar bears.
Oh, yeah. And he was very
he got along with everybody.
And he bonded very closely with both Bill and I, but he more so with me. It was once in the Cascades when we were to go down a steep slope of unstable rocks. And Bill had him. He was always on a lead in the mountains because he'd chase off after wild animals if we let him.
Yeah.
And so Bill was about to take him down. It was his turn to lead him, and Charlie wouldn't go down with Bill. And then so Bill handed the lead to me, and Charlie went in front of me and led me down. Charlie knew that slope was unstable, and he wanted to get me down safely.
Oh.
And he wouldn't go down with Bill. He had to go down with me because he wanted to be in front, and he led me down.
Wow.
So he knew all these things.
He's he was protective. Very intuitive. Mm-hmm. And
He knew where he was, and he knew that slope was unstable, and he wanted to get me down safely.
Because certainly there were...
He just left Bill to come down by himself.
One of the times on the trek to the North Pole, he tried to warn you not to go any further on the...
Well, on this particular pan of ice... Charlie knew it was dangerous, but being a human, of course, knowing everything, I ignored his warning.
You thought you knew better, huh?
And I stepped out on the pan. I almost killed us both. So then, from then on, it was, well, whatever you want, Charlie, that's exactly where we're going to go.
Well, because when you stepped on that ice.
It's like a seesaw.
It tipped.
With the weight, it tipped.
And at the looking down, there's the Arctic Ocean.
And we were sliding backwards into the ocean.
And you're goner. I mean, there's no recovering from that.
So I did a superhuman. I cannot believe how I actually got that done. But a superhuman chin up by grabbing the other edge of the ice and pulling myself up, and then it was.
Because weren't you attached to
my sled?
Sled and Charlie as well.
Yes, and it was pulling me backwards. So then I had with my left hand.
And
I
you
pulled
and your
myself
little 5
up.
Foot two.
With my left hand, I pulled myself up, and then. Pulled Charlie with the other one. He was clawing, trying to get purchase on that, a grip on that ice. And then our weight started to go over the other edge until we tipped it down again.
So it tipped it back up. Oh.
And then for the rest of the day, I never looked at Charlie. I was so ashamed. I couldn't look at him.
Well, yes.
I couldn't believe what he must have thought of me.
Well, and Kathy's wondering why you think Charlie lived so long.
Because of genetics and because we cooked all of his food. He had acupuncture and monthly acupuncture and chiropractic. I learned animal massage. We treated him like an athlete. And
home cooking and missing
link. Yes, and missing link and the home
acupuncture,
cooking.
Acupuncture, chiropractic, and you did massage.
All those things combined and just our animals live a long time.
Well, yeah, because, you know, there is the human-to-animal transference that I talk about a lot. That and you attract, like attracts like. Mm-hmm. And
Charlie wasn't
they don't
just
have a
dog.
Lot of junk to process from you guys. And you genetically, Helen, you come with great genetics because your mom is still with you.
Yeah, she's right? 95 racing through life still.
95, yeah. Your mom. And when you go off on these tracks, who takes care of the farm?
She takes care of the things.
Mom takes care of the farm. She's 95 years old. Holy moly.
Yeah, she's got it all down pat. She knows what she's doing. She's in good shape.
Yeah. What about Bill's genetics? Is his family long-lived?
His family, it's the same thing. Yeah, his mother was, 90-something years old?
And 93?
But very strong genetic family. So we both come from families that are... been long-lived and genetically strong, which helps us. And then we keep up We try to eat well. Every now and again, we digress, but we have a pretty good diet and exercise. Plus, just enjoying life and just being optimistic people.
I guess, yeah. I'm amazed. So before we close out this hour, I'm going to take care of and actually stay on schedule here and take care of current events. And that way we'll be done with all of that and we'll turn this hour around. We've got one more hour to go. I can't wait to talk about the book that's going to come out after Charlie's mm-hmm. story. And Charlie, here we're at your side. We expect that in the fall. We've talked off year. We're going to schedule a show.
Hopefully by Christmas.
Hopefully by Christmas. Yeah. So sometime next fall, going into winter, we'll launch the book
here.
We're
going to have to hustle because we're almost there.
Yeah, it's amazing. Time is flying so fast. So we'll take care of current events, and then the next hour we'll talk about the book to follow Charlie's story and then what they've been doing recently, what they're planning to do, and all that good stuff. So stay right where you are. It's time for current events. Okay, in the entertainment department, and how about the education department? By popular demand, I'm finally starting to teach again, Helen. I appreciate this. It's been, it's probably been 10 years since I've taught classes, and I am beginning again in August. I will be at East West Bookshop in Seattle. I am teaching my Communicating with Animals, Interspecies Telepathic and Empathetic Communication on Wednesday, August 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. And then the second one is Tuesday, August 12th, the Human-to-Animal Transference, understanding, you know, when it's our animals have problems, it isn't just the animals that they pick up, process, and reflect back what's going on with us. And both classes are 7 to 9 p.m. You can take either for $15 a piece or both of them for $25. Can't beat that deal. So August 6th, August 12th, eastwestbookshop.com or give them a call at 206-523-3726. And let's see, the Conscious Wellness Expo, Saturday, July 26th. In Kent, that's at the Kent Commons, and our own Animal World animal communicator Darcy Pariso will be there Saturday, August 26th. It's free admission, hourly speakers from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Darcy will be there offering animal readings. Today, join Perfect Pals for movie night at Central Cinema in Seattle this evening from 6 p.m. to 8:30. $20 note donation. The feature presentation will be Puss and Boots, the 2011 animated feature. Theater's air-conditioned. It's a dine-in theater with a full menu of great food and drinks. Arrive promptly at 6 to participate and order food, buy raffle tickets, learn about Perfect Pals. Today at our own Sierra Fish and Pets in Renton, 601 Grady Way, Ginger's Pet Rescue will be there from, right about almost now, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. with lots of great dogs to find forever homes. They'll be there today from 11 to 4 and next Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 4 as well. Let's see. Today is also the third annual Walk for Old Dogs and the Old Dog Pageant from noon to 3 p.m. at the Bellevue Downtown Park on Northeast 4th. And if you want to do the walk, it's $25, but you can go to the show. And then Woofstock 2014 is coming Saturday, August 2nd, 10 to 3 at the University of Puget Sound, Todd Field, presented by Positive Alliance and Dugan Foundation. They want to do more than 100 adoptions this year, so lots of animals to adopt at Woofstock. And then you can do the Mualop, the 9th Annual Fine Wines and Feline Auction Fundraiser, Saturday, August 16th, 6:30 to 10 p.m. at the Hub Ballroom at the University of Washington campus. $50 for dinner in the auction, $5 drink and game tickets. Registration is required by August 10th, and it's casual attire. And wear your best hat for the best hat contest, vegetarian dinner, silent auction, live auction, www.meowcatrescue.org. Oh, one of my favorite events, save the date for this year's sexless soiree benefiting the Feral Cat Spay and Neuter Project. And that's September 27th. Feral Cat has also got a mom and kitten special going on through the month of July and August. If you have a Fred Meyer Rewards card and shop there, you can go online and link your card to local charities. And you can link to Feral Cat Spay and Neuter Project or Meow Cat Rescue. Probably some other ones, too. Scrub-a-Mutt Benefit Dog Wash on Saturday, August 16th. That is the 7th annual. And then, let's see, we got anything else? Oh, Humane Society has got Sizzlin' Summer Pet Food Drive. They do it in the summer now, not just over the holidays. Look for the Seattle Humane Society donation barrels at King County Safeway stores through the month of July. And I think that's enough. And for the rest of the stuff I can't get to, go to www.marthanorwalk.com, click on current events. Remember, next week is Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. Kathy will host the show with Christy Legale, former host of Living Humane. They'll check in with all our regulars, plus they've been working their tails off to plan lots of other special features and interviews. So I hope you'll join them for all the fun. And on Saturday, August 3rd, we're taking the Sunday off, and it is for the 2014 Albert Lee Appliance Cup. And so Hydros and Blue Angels, all that good stuff. Live coverage here starting at 10 a.m., full 8 hours. Woohoo! All right, so that wraps us up for the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We'll turn it right around. We'll be back for more of Adventure Sunday with Helen and Bill Thayer and find out what they've been up to and what's coming and and the book and then the next book after Charlie's book. Well, it's going to be a good one. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Canine Caviar, available at Bothell Feed Center in the North End and Sierra Fish and Pets in the South End.